Father God, we pray that you will indeed speak to us amazing words from you now. Amen. So, here we are, a new year. That's more than a new year, isn't it? It's a new decade. I've been kind of stunned how people seem to have been ignoring that fact. Normally people get very excited about a new decade. All I can think of is, good heavens, doesn't time fly? I was just speaking to somebody earlier about there was a Clive James documentary being repeated from 1991, and I can remember that documentary being shown. It doesn't seem that long ago. And then I suddenly realised 29 years ago that was first shown. So time does fly. But anyway, how was Christmas for you? Did you all get nice presents? Yeah? Can you remember all the presents you got? Do you ever find there's one or two presents you actually fail to remember? Remember that as a child, having all these toys, you'd be asked to name them all, and there'd always be one that you forgot and felt embarrassed about. Well, today we're thinking about a group of presents, three gifts, that we don't forget about because they've been put into our minds ever since childhood, really. And of course, those are the gifts that the Magi brought to Jesus. We heard it all in our second Bible reading from Matthew chapter 2. I want to focus, though, on the significance of those gifts today. How many gifts are there? Three. How many wise men are there? Well done, well done. We don't know. But there are three gifts, and we're going to think through the significance of them. They are rather unusual gifts, though, aren't they, for a baby? The early service, I was saying about how whenever there's a new baby in the congregation or by a friend, Lisa always takes me into Marks and Spencer and we go through all the baby clothes section. She chooses something appropriate. If I said, well, let's give some frankincense, she'd look at me as if I'd gone crazy. They are rather odd gifts to bring. But actually, they are appropriate considering who Jesus is. So as we come to our first gift, what was the first gift? Gold. This is the gold we opened up earlier. They probably wouldn't accept that in a shop, but never mind. Gold. Why is it appropriate to bring gold to the Lord Jesus? Brilliant. Pam, you might as well come up and preach. You're absolutely spot on. Gold is because Jesus is king. Back then, gold was the appropriate gift to give to a king. And that's why they have brought this gift. And if we actually look at Matthew chapter 1 and 2, Matthew really wants to start by getting this fact established. Jesus is king. Right at the beginning of the Bible reading. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." The Magi knew Jesus was king. But Matthew gives us other evidence. Where's the king born? He's born in Bethlehem. And we see a prediction in the Bible reading from Malachi chapter 5. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." The one true king, God's king, was to be born in Bethlehem. It had been prophesied. Now, just in case we're sort of a bit worried about King Herod at this point, and we know the story, so we're not, I know. But when somebody first hears this story, they might think, oh, this is a bit off. There's already a king on the throne, Herod. But let's remember that Herod had no right to be on the throne. The king on the throne should have been born in Bethlehem. The king on the throne should have been of the line of King David. Matthew chapter 1, Matthew emphasizes Jesus is born in the line of King David, humanly speaking. Herod was not. In fact, Herod's, I think it was only one or two generations, had been Jews. And Herod really wasn't that much of a Jew. Not really. He was a Roman collaborator. He was the pretender to the throne, not Jesus. But of course, he gets very upset when he hears there is a new king on the throne, very upset indeed. We see it in verse 3. King Herod heard, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Because when we realise that there is a one true king, our response can be one of two options. We can be like the wise men. They came and they recognised that Jesus is the one true king, and they worshipped him. King Herod said, no, I am king. And of course he lies and says, I want to come and worship Jesus, but really he wants to kill him. But really, those are the two options we have. We might not want to kill Jesus, but we either have to come and submit ourselves to Jesus, give him all our worship, and it can be costly, that worship. The wise men, they gave up probably a couple of years to go and find Jesus. They brought all that gold. They went on a risky journey. But Jesus was the king. He was worth it. They would worship him. And if Jesus was to give them a command, they would obey it. That's what it means if we're to make Jesus our king. But most of us, unfortunately, don't want Jesus to be our king. We want to be our own kings. In that way, we do follow King Herod. But of course, that is to reject the one true king. But why do we not like Jesus being king? Well, he might ask us to live our life a certain way. And we don't want that. We want to call the shots. He might call us to give of our wealth, as the wise men did. We don't want to do that. We'd rather keep it for ourselves. It is costly to worship Jesus, but it is worth it. And the challenge really today is to think, will I follow the example of the wise men? We made these cute little wise men earlier to take home as little symbols to follow their example, because they came and worshipped Jesus. Or do we follow the example of King Herod and say, actually, I don't want Jesus. I want to be in charge. That's the challenge. But gold shows that Jesus is king. Okay, so it's costly to follow Jesus. Why should we do it? We come to gift number two. I think that was in this one. What's gift number two? I didn't have any frankincense. But I had something else that was full of scent. And some aftershave. It smells wonderful. But the point of frankincense is, it was kind of a solid resin, and you could burn it, and it would come with this wonderful aroma, and it was used in worship. So you could say that incense is a gift worthy of the Son of God, but it's also worthy of priests, because priests would use incense in their worship. So let's now think, Jesus is not only our king, he is our great high priest. And this is where we start to see the benefits, because the role of our priest, obviously, is to help us come to know God. And Jesus does that perfectly. In that wonderful passage we hear at Christmas time, John chapter 1, the end of that reading we have, I think it's verse 17, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, that's Jesus, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. A priest's role is to make God known, but Jesus does that perfectly because he is, of course, God himself. We can come to the knowledge of God because of the birth of Jesus. And it's what we were made for. Our lives are so often lacking, but Jesus, the knowledge of God, can bring fulfillment. This is why we were made. So it's worth it following Jesus, because we can find true fulfillment for our lives. And more than that, because what else did a priest do back then in the Old Testament? They would do sacrifices for the people. They would sacrifice animals. And the idea of sacrificing an animal was to say, the people are sinful, but if we sacrifice an animal in your place, your sin is symbolically taken away so you can be right with God. The sacrifice that Jesus brings, though, is the one perfect sacrifice. The sacrifice Jesus brings truly gets rid of our sin. And when our sin is got rid of, we can be friends with God, forgiven, and we can have eternal life. One of the difficult parts of my ministry is to conduct funerals, because death is the last great enemy. And it's horrible to see people parted from their loved ones. But let's think about it. Jesus came to defeat death. And if we love the Lord Jesus, well, yes, death is a separation and it's awful, but we have hope because we know that we will be victors over death and we will meet again in the heavenly kingdom. The sacrifice the Lord Jesus does as our great high priest is amazing. Our sin is taken away, death is taken away, and we come to know the Lord. What an appropriate gift then to bring the Lord Jesus, incense. So we've seen Jesus is our King, who we should obey and follow. He's our great high priest, who enables us to know God and brings that sacrifice. And finally, though, the final gift. Again, I didn't have any myrrh, but we had fun smelling this wonderful ground nutmeg earlier. It's got a beautiful, beautiful scent. But obviously, myrrh was a spice. Again, a bit of an odd present. I mean, Jesus has only just been born, but the myrrh looks ahead to the death of Jesus on the cross as the sacrifice. Not only is Jesus priest offering the sacrifice, he is the sacrifice. And when he dies on the cross, he's taken down and two men are there, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and they anoint Jesus' body with aloes and myrrh. That's what myrrh was used for. The myrrh is pointing ahead to Jesus being the sacrifice for us. So Jesus is priest, but he's also the sacrifice, and that points to the amazing love God has for us. It's a beautiful song. We sing it sometimes. Amazing love, oh what sacrifice, the Son of God given for me. My debt he pays, my death he dies, that I might live. So those are the three gifts. When we come, though, to that choice, and Jesus calls us to follow him, and we see that it is costly, and we have to count the cost, and it might be costly, which make Jesus a priority. Or maybe you have to say, well, there goes the Sunday Lion. There goes maybe 10% of what I earn. There maybe goes, I don't know, some behaviour that's a bit sinful that Jesus tells me to stop doing. Maybe gossiping or whatever it is. And so we then find that maybe we need to sort of get more involved in church life or helping the food bank or something. It can be costly following Jesus. But it's the right thing to do to come and worship him, because he is also not only king, he is also great high priest and the sacrifice. What he has given to us, what it cost him on that cross, is far, far more than we can ever repay. So it's right to follow the example of the wise men. We come back to the challenge. Will we follow the example of the wise men who worshipped Jesus, who made him priority? Or will we be like Herod and say, actually, I'm going to stay in charge. I'm not going to let Jesus take over my life. I'm not going to give him everything. But the example of the wise men is the right one to follow, and the benefits we get by following their example far outweigh any cost. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the wise men. And we thank you that they came seeking the King of the Jews, and what they found is a king for all nations. We thank you for their worship. And we thank you for those gifts. Jesus is king, but he's also high priest and sacrifice, the Son of God given for us, that we might live. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May we worship you and follow you. Amen.